give, they can do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Well, we're going to call this a homecoming Monday. Because both of us are back from the road. Nathan on the road a lot longer. Spent this past week in Florida. And I know we got stories. We've been sharing them before we got on the air here. His family trip down to Florida. I was sharing some stories. And I think both of us will get into some of this now. Because had some interesting experiences. I was in Los Angeles since last Thursday for the draft day premiere and press event that took place. Had never really been part of something like this before. It was remarkable in Beverly Hills with the cast and crew of that. And there's going to be a lot of that content on our website. But Nathan, I'm so happy to be back with you, my friend.
And I am so happy to be back, Notorious. It feels good to be back here. I'm excited. In another week closer to the draft, which is good. And we can get some new blood on this team. And I'm very excited to be back. Had a great time in Florida with the family, but definitely missed you. And I know you were out in California. And was that your first earthquake?
No, I've been through some other earthquakes in California and actually one in New York, in Western New York. But that was as big as one as I've been through. It was a 5+ on the 5.1, I think, is what it was.
Uh-huh.
And so the deal was, and I don't even want to describe it as like the highlight of the trip, but it was an event that happened on the trip. So I'm in my room at the Four Seasons. It's about 9:15 or so, California time, and all of a sudden, and I was texting with a friend who was about 18 miles away in California, and we did one of those. Did you feel that? And I felt something, and then all of a sudden the door to the bathroom swung open, and the dressers are moving, and the whole room, and I felt like I was on a boat on the water, and the thing just kept going, swaying, and walls were creaking, and then it dawned on me, those floors above me, they could fall. This could be bad. So I didn't know what, and it felt like all of this happened over the course of 10 minutes. I think it lasted 45 seconds, but it was still quite a thing. And of course, the TV coverage of it took up the rest of the time. But other than that, tremendous trip and really, really fun experience to kind of be around the whole crew that we had spent so much time with when they were shooting the movie here. And what this entails is, so at the Four Seasons Hotel is where they gather, and this was Saturday, the whole 14th floor, they took it over. And in the suites, you have one for Kevin Costner, one for Jennifer Garner, one for Ivan Reitman, the producer, one for the other cast members. And you get to go to each room. They're all set up with the chairs and the backdrop of the movie. And you get about 4 minutes with each person to ask some questions, and then this is all being
like
recorded.
A press junket.
It's exactly what it was, and then you take all this. So the real great part of this for us, for Cleveland Browns and ClevelandBrowns.com, we're going to have a ton of new content, by the way, from this event. Arian Foster was there talking about wearing a Browns uniform, and we got some comments from him about Ben Tate, and a lot. It had some fun elements to it. Costner spent most of our time because you're on the clock as soon as you walk in there. And I was a little, I'm not going to say I was unhappy, but he was eating into, quote, my time because he wanted to talk about all the changes that had happened since the movie came out with the Browns. And he's going into Chud conversation. Then he's asking about Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi and like a Browns fan. And he had gotten somewhat close to this team. So we were spending a lot of time him interviewing me about the Browns, but he cared. But the guy genuinely
cared. Which at some
point
has to be. That's got to be nice. Kevin Costner's interviewing you.
It was nice, and he wouldn't take, like, he wasn't taking. I was trying to keep my answer short though, because the clock was ticking in my head. He wanted to just get into it more, and I said, because I'm going to get booted out of this room because the French, there was French journalists, French movie writers,
and media,
they were all over this too. They were from France, from England, not too many sports folks. Access Hollywood, all the usual suspects that I, and I don't know all those people, but I recognize them from the promos, and we're all kind of together in this thing, and it's like the waiting room of a dentist or something. You wait your turn to go into the room, and they're very meticulous, very organized, and you go through each, you're on a schedule, and you go through, and over the course of a couple hours, we did these interviews. I got to tell you that this was the highlight of the trip, nothing to do with the movie. So, early Friday morning, and I'm still on East Coast time. It's about 5:45 a.m. I go down to the to get my workout done. I go into the fitness room, and I see four security style. They're like Secret Service style security. They're wearing black jackets, ties, the regular uniform with earpieces. And I see two of them at the top of the stairs going in, and I see two more in the workout room. And nobody's stopping me, and I'm thinking, who are they here for? And I look inside the room, and there's only two other people working out. And there was an elderly woman on a treadmill and an elderly gentleman a couple treadmills over, white hair guy. And neither registered with me immediately. I'm kind of looking at him from the back. So I'm going through my stuff I'm doing, planks and such, and stretching and torso twists.
Planks.
And, you know, my stuff. Yes. Yeah, because I'm pretty
more weights, more dates.
So, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me. So I'm doing this. And I'm kind of on the floor, and Megan's laughing there. And I'm on the floor, and the guy gets off, the older guy gets off the treadmill, heading toward, and now the security people jump to attention. So I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out who it is. And now as I look up, it's Jimmy Carter, the former president of the United States. So I jump up, and then I said, oops, this might not be a good move with the Secret Service there. So I jump up and kind of look over the corner. They're cool. Jimmy Carter, we make eye contact. President Carter walks over. We shake hands. I'm trying to think of something profound to say. Got nothing. It was like, such an honor and a privilege, sir, to meet you or something. That was the best I could come up with under the circumstances. And he's all sweating and stuff. He had just done his workout. He's got to be mid-80s, I think, and but was doing a pretty solid job on the treadmill mill, moving well, looking pretty good. He had, I guess he had just done some TV appearance, I want to say, with either the late or Tonight Show or something. He had been on something recently because my wife had told me about that. So he was looking good and sounding good and very engaging for the short time we got together. And then his security took him out there. And the only other highlight was, and I didn't get to talk with him, Mick Jagger was at the hotel too.
That's pretty cool.
Four Seasons gets some cool people.
Some icons. You know, here's an interesting fact that I'm sure you didn't know about me. I took a class from Jimmy Carter.
Wow. Oh, I would think down
at Emory. Right. The Carter Center is affiliated with Emory, and it was a class on public policy. And
I would have thrown your name out there had I known.
You would have had absolutely no idea. And non-governmental organizations. And it was run by he guest lectured, I'd want to say. It was a once-a-week class. I'd say he probably came in maybe like six times, which
How cool.
A former president is it's pretty cool.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, and the rest of it were two people that had been ambassadors under him in his administration who taught the class, who were full-time professors at Emory. But it was a pretty neat a neat thing. A very genteel guy.
Extremely. Yeah. That's the thing. And I kind of felt and hoped that would be the guy. And I'm trying to go back in time, and I'm trying to think maybe that was the first presidential election I might have voted in.
Oh, really?
Or something. That's dates me a little bit. But that's that was kind of the highlight there. We've got a great show. And it won't involve discussions about politics, I assure you. Yes. It will be about football and the Browns. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will join us at 1:30. And we will get Sal Palantonio this time. Last week we were hoping to have him on the show, and then the whole news broke about DeSean Jackson in Philly, and Palantonio was all over that. He apologized profusely. He was supposed to be on with us Friday, but he is joining us today. ESPN NFL reporter, of course. He's got strong opinions about Johnny Manziel. He wants the Browns to draft. I'm just setting this up now. He wants the Browns to draft Manziel, and he's going to make the Manziel case. Then we're going to do something cool, that a new feature we're going to start today at 2:30, and it's going to be three questions with three-time Super Bowl champ Jerod Cherry. We're bringing him back as kind of on a weekly basis where he'll do some quality time with us. It's always quality time, but now we're going to have like three questions and three hits with that. So that'll be fun. We'll do a weekend in review. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Want your calls and your thoughts on different topics. DeSean Jackson is going to be a big one that we'll talk about on the show, obviously, with Sal Pal. But his availability and some buzz about teams that are interested in him, is he someone the Browns should consider and talk about? We want to hear your thoughts on that. But anything else on your Browns mind, your football mind, we'll get into.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk today about Brian Hoyer saying that he is ready, absolutely ready to compete with anybody if he has to compete with them. And that's one of the things we want to know. Do you think that Brian Hoyer at this point, if the Browns draft a rookie, is the job Hoyer's, period? Should they have the rookie sit and develop? Do the Browns have an obligation to see what Hoyer can do? Should there even be a competition? I definitely am interested to hear what people say. I know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. The best man should win. There should be a competition. If you draft a rookie, he should absolutely be given the chance to compete. Now,
yes.
Will the team be drafting a quarterback at four? I'm not sure. There was a while ago I thought that that was going to be the direction they were going. Now I'm not as sure of that direction, but I do think whoever comes in should compete with Hoyer, and I think there should be a veteran that's brought in as well. I think this is a team that needs a couple quarterbacks to fill in that position around Brian Hoyer. So what do you think about that? And then DeSean Jackson, an interesting one. A lot of stuff made about him off the field coming out in wake of his release. A lot of people then defending him and stepping up for him. You know, do you want the Browns to talk to DeSean Jackson? Do you want them to pursue DeSean Jackson? And I think when you think about this and frame this, think about his potential on the field.
Right.
Think about his potential ramifications off the field for him, the potential ramifications in the locker room for some of the young players on this team, and also the salary cap implications of bringing him in and what that would mean versus a draft that is known to be rich with wide receiver talent and how you balance out the economics of that. So definitely would be interested in hearing your thoughts about DeSean Jackson. Right now it sounds like the Washington Redskins will be the first team he will visit, and that's going to supposedly happen today. So do want to see that. There's also a report out there that Vic and I, we cannot confirm at this moment, but that the Browns are meeting with Derek Carr, the quarterback of Fresno State, today.
Right. We can't confirm that, but those reports are out there. The whole quarterback attachment to the Browns in the draft, for me, has been like an experience that I went through Friday in California, like this earthquake, the roller coaster of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I've gone back and forth on the idea that the Browns should be targeting that. There was a time when I felt I didn't want to think of anything else but a quarterback at four. And then I was drifting away from that. And maybe the more research that was coming out and the more questions that have been raised about the quarterbacks in this draft pushed me away from the idea of that pick being made at four, even though I still wanted them to come away from this draft with a quarterback. And I'm convinced they will. Where, I have no idea, but I'm positive a quarterback gets drafted by the Browns. I can't think of them not doing it. And I think everything that they're doing sets up for this to happen. And now I'm of a mindset, now that we are deeper into free agency, now that no other quarterback has been added, the whole Matt Schaub story is done as far as the Browns are concerned, I'm inclined, Nathan, to think that this guy is going to be the fourth overall pick, and I'm inclined right now to put Derek Carr there. I feel Derek Carr has climbed heavily in my ranks, and not just because of the reports that they're talking with him today. The more research I've done on him, the better I've been feeling about him being a guy that I could put there at four. I want the Browns. My feeling is if the Browns don't do quarterback at four, whoever it may be, I'm putting Carr's name there right now because I have Blake Bortles still gone to Houston with the first pick. So the guy I would want them to take there isn't there. And now I'm going with my next best guy. And right now my next best guy is Carr. And as I look at that, I say, okay, what about Sammy Watkins? What about somebody at another non-quarterback position? And I'm struggling because I got a feeling that if you don't make the move at four and there's a guy like this who could really help you out in a big way, you could be missing the boat. And I'm worried about that. And I don't see them not making a prominent investment in the position in this draft because they haven't done it any other way. And I don't think it's simply a case of Brian Hoyer or bust at quarterback.
I would agree with that. I think that's an interesting thing, and we're going to be releasing our mock draft version 2.0 on Wednesday on this show. So Derek Carr, right now, you think he might be in there at number four for the Browns?
I'm feeling that right now. I could change my mind by Wednesday, but I'm going to stay right now. That maybe that's a little preview tease, because I will have some new, obviously as you will too, some new names in the in our mock that's coming out on ClevelandBrowns.com on Wednesday. We're going to have version 2.0 for Nathan Zagura and for yours truly. So we want your thoughts, again, on this quarterback position, because that's going to get talked about ad nauseum between now and May. But you can't talk about it enough. It's got to be discussed. And the whole Johnny Manziel story, where does that fit into things? As we said, Jim Donovan, bottom of the hour, your calls, 216-578-0850. Your tweets at Browns_Daily. We got Megan Rock here tweeting about the show, and she'll be gathering those, and we'll answer and address your thoughts and opinions via Twitter throughout the show. Stick around for much, much more on a Football Monday, a homecoming Monday. Nathan Zagura back from Florida. Me, I'm back from Cali. This is Cleveland Browns. Did I say that coolly, by the way? Cali is coolly.
Yeah, usually you're going back, back to Cali.
Your response wasn't, Megan gave it a big no. That didn't sound cool coming from me. Okay, thank you, Megan.
I liked it, Notorious.
Thanks, buddy. I see, that's why I'm glad you're back, because I need the support badly.